In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When a person finishes their life and they die, what remains of all the things that they have done? In the first epistle, we heard St. Paul say, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation, the foundation that Christ laid, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's works will become clear, for the day, that's the final day, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's works of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire." I've had reason to ponder that. As most of you know, my mother passed away a little bit more than a week ago, and I've experienced the loss of family members before. This is the first time that it's fallen to me and my family to clean out all the belongings of the person. And what struck me is that all these things that my mother had spent a life collecting were just being divvied up, and various members of my family were taking various things. And of course, they have some sentimental value, depending on the object, to those that have taken the various things. But the day will come, almost certainly, that people will not even remember whose those things were if they aren't in the trash can beforehand, depending on what they are. For myself, other than pictures and some things that belong to my grandmother and my great-grandmother, the only thing that I've run across so far that really had a sentimental value to me was a book that I remember her reading to me and my brothers when I was in junior high, at least. And it was one of many my mother liked to read to us when we were children and even when we were teenagers. And she always read things that she thought would make us into better people, and particularly into better Christians. She wasn't Orthodox, she was a Protestant, but to the extent that she knew, she wanted to point us in the right direction. This particular book was about a family of missionaries. They were the first missionaries in Swaziland, Africa. And later, when I was in college, I got to meet the guy who wrote the book. Very sweet old man. I met him right before he passed away. He was born in Swaziland. His father was the first missionary. And he had just had a stroke when I met him. But he said that he had to relearn English, but he could still do Zulu tongue twisters because he grew up speaking Siswat and Zulu more than English. And I was very impressed by what a humble and pious man he was. But I knew who he was because my mother had read this book to me, and it was one of the few books that I could have told you about even if I hadn't ran across this book, because it was very meaningful. But what is that book? Is it an object? No, it's actually the reason why it has any value to me is because it was something my mother did, not something that she owned. It represented the care that she took to raise her children the best way she knew how. My mother had a great many friends, and people loved her. But I can only speak for myself as far as what I take away from her life. I didn't always appreciate it at the time when I was a kid, but I do now, that my mother wanted to be my parent and not my buddy. She was not trying to be the cool mom. She was not trying to make sure that we didn't tell her how unhappy we were with her on any given occasion. She was the parent, and she felt the responsibility to point us in the right direction, whether we liked it or not. Those of you that were at the funeral, I want to correct one thing that the minister said. He said that she made sure that we were always in church on Sunday morning, and then he said, and sometimes on Sunday night, Wednesday night, And my older brother, who's a Nazarene minister, said, well, he's a Methodist, and so we probably can't imagine the people who go to church more regularly than that. But it was 100% of the time, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, unless there was a very serious impediment that prevented us from going to church. And when I was very young, my parents were divorced when I was six, and so from the time I was 10, my mother worked every work day of the rest of her life until she retired. And sometimes she worked double shifts to make ends meet. And I remember as a child sitting in church and watching her head nod because she would have just gotten off the night shift. And yet she took us to church that morning when I think everyone would have understood if she just said, you know, I'm just too tired, we're not going to church today. But not going to church was never an option. And again, unless there was some extraordinary barrier that prevented us from doing so. And I appreciate that now because I know how important it is for us to come to church and to worship God. And you have my mother to thank that we do as many services as we do, I suppose, and that I don't abbreviate more than I do because I know that it's important. But that was instilled in me by her. One time, one of my brothers had been playing and he hurt his arm, and it was Sunday afternoon, and so he was saying, I think my arm is broken. He didn't want to go to church. And my mother said, you know, that she didn't believe him and she thought he was just playing. So we went to church that night. He kept complaining about his arm and saying he thought that it might be broken. And she said, if your arm isn't broken, I'm going to break it. And then she took him to the emergency room, and as a matter of fact, his arm was broken, and she felt bad about it. But that's how seriously she took going to church. She was also a strict disciplinarian, and she didn't spare the rod at all. And at the time, again, I didn't always appreciate it, but when I look back at my life and I see the discipline that she instilled in me, and particularly at work, when I see some of the dysfunctionality that I see in our culture today because people won't discipline their children, I'm grateful. She also had high expectations of her children. She expected us to do something with our life, and she also expected us to support the family. And so from the age of 15, with the exception of my younger brother, just because of the time he was the last of the Mohicans in the home, income was rising to meet expenses a little bit more frequently. But we were expected to go work, and usually my paycheck went to pay the bills. I got tips from sacking groceries, and she would let me keep those. But usually the paycheck went to her, and she would always say, I'll pay you back. And I think she had every intention of doing it, but more often than not, she wasn't able to do it. She was self-sacrificial. She literally would sell her blood on a regular basis to be able to buy the things for her children that she wanted to. That was back when you could do that legally. And she wasn't a perfect person. I wouldn't get up here and try to say that she was, you know, a great saint. If we were talking about personal finance, I wouldn't hold her up as a model. But when it came to being a mother, I would. These things I carry on and I pass on to other people. And so her life hasn't just passed by without any notice. And the rippling effects continue on. The questions that we have to ask is, at the end of our life, what will be left of all the things that we've done? Will it just be a bunch of stuff that we'll pass on to our family and to our friends or to the Salvation Army? How will what we accomplish in our life be viewed in the light of eternity? How will it be viewed by God? The things that endure all come down to one thing, and that's the things that we do from love. The things that we do for love for our fellow man, and the things that we do for love for God. There's the saying that charity begins at home, and I think because of the way the word charity has come to be understood, we think that is some sort of a reference just to giving things. But the word charity means love, and love begins at home. And that's what my mother did. She loved her children. She loved her family, she loved her friends, and she did the best that she could do. and she loved God, and she tried to point her children in the right direction. So what will we have to show at the end of our life? That's what we need to be thinking about. The book of Proverbs ends with these final two verses. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.